Sorry, my own response made me chuckle to Are You Ready yeah. to Record? Yes.
Yes.
And it's just very, yes.
Yes, I am ready.
I am feel good. I'm ready to record.
I am ready to record.
Did you like Mass Effect? It's good. I'd make a good Dalek. But
you
not
would make
in,
a great...
Not in like the classic, you would make a good Dalek, but I just think I would... I just think I'd be happy in that kind of form.
As a Dalek, I think you would be so miserable, but I think that you would... I think that, you know what, you would get the most you possibly could out of it.
I would be a good Dalek, whereas other Daleks would just be like, I just think I'm not living to my full potential, and then be looking at me as I'm doing a little Dalek-like dance in the Dalek halls. You know what's the coolest... You know what's the coolest Dalek design that they never go back to is the Dalek Emperor in in Nine's season. That's the coolest Dalek.
But that is the coolest Dalek. We just talked about this like a few months ago when you were last here and we were rewatching it over Christmas.
Yes, I love the Dalek Emperor. I love the Cult of Scarvo.
Cult of Scarvo was the best.
So good. Mm. Now, is that trilogy pretty mid? It's pretty mid. It's also a duology. I don't think it's a trilogy. I think it's two.
Not a trilogy.
It's a two-parter. The two-parter is pretty mid with, they said it in America. Andrew
is that
Garfield.
Andrew Garfield?
Andrew Garfield's in it, though, which is pretty fun.
Andrew Garfield Pigman? Yeah.
But the... Andrew Garfield isn't the Pigman.
I know he doesn't become a Pigman, but
there
those
is
are the two most important things about that episode.
There is a Pigman.
Andrew Garfield Pigman.
The Cult of Scarvo is so cool. And then the Dalek human hybrid is also fucking awesome.
I know.
He's a Dalek with a human's heart, and it's so, it's just the world's most interesting thing.
He's like, I'm brilliant, like a million Daleks, and also I care about people. I can save the entire universe. And then
I can save everything. He's immediately
and
killed.
Then he's shut down immediately.
But it's great. Yeah. It's so interesting.
It's great.
It's more interesting. You know what I need to go back and rewatch? I need to rewatch the Power Rangers Dalek things. I love a Dalek is the thing. And I appreciate they do it too much. But I like
you mean
the Power Rangers Daleks, where Stephen Moffat's in Matt Smith's series, there was like one of every color. It was like a red Dalek, a yellow Dalek. The Power Rangers.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And I can't remember any of their relevance, but I remember them looking stupid.
Yeah,
and
these
I don't
are the ones
think
that
they
come from Rose Tyler because they're the Genesis arc Daleks.
They come for Rose Tyler. Rose Tyler's not in that season. This is a Matt Smith season.
Are you? What? Isn't the first time the multicolored ones come back? Isn't that when the Genesis arc opens?
Power Rangers.
Am I mixing those up?
God, gang. Anyone in chat watch Doctor Who? God, it's so fucking good. I'm big. okay, so if you type in Power Rangers Daleks, it literally comes up immediately, and I want you to...
That's fun. That's very fun.
Okay, so they came in... Okay, the Paradigm Daleks is what they're called.
The Paradigm Daleks. Okay.
Scarrow is one of them. Fascinating. That seems wrong. He dies. It's kind of the whole point of the...
When has that ever mattered?
I guess.
to anyone.
Yeah. Okay, so the Daleks in the... I need to find out where it is. First seen in Victory of the Daleks, Season 5, Episode 3, Matt Smith season, written by Mark Gatiss. Okay, so this is when the 11th Doctor... meets Winston Churchill and the Daleks.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're all organized by, like, rank, which, again, is not a Dalek thing, but I understand why they're doing it. So Supreme Dalek is white, Eternal Dalek is yellow, Strategist Daleks are blue, Scientist Daleks are orange, Drone Daleks are red. This shit sucks.
Yeah, wow. I somehow do not remember that. I, for some reason, thought that the multicolor, but now I am remembering them being, because the white Dalek of all of them was so strikingly white. Like, it was like this, like, bright.
Yeah, I mean, all of them are they took the ugly version of every color and put it on a Dalek.
It was primary colors.
Yeah, it's like you got a paint tool in Microsoft Paint and just kind of
child's paint tool.
It's so bad. Yeah, it's stupid.
That's fun. Yeah, I don't know why I thought it was the Genesis arc, but yeah, now I do remember the Winston
Genesis
Churchill
arc. Genesis. Arc. Spell much? Genesis arc. Oh, I'm stupid. Here it is. Oh, no. The Genesis arc is the time prison for Daleks. Yeah. Sorry, that was for me. Yeah.
They come out and then Rose Tyler gives them that fun little speech where she's like, look me up. And
yes.
You know.
Whatever
she says. Man, she's like,
the emperor knows me. I killed him.
I reached into the time vortex, poured it right into his head. And then the Daleks shake with fear.
Whoa! Yeah.
I miss
when Doctor Who, it was the companions doing the stupid, overly dramatic speeches and not the doctors.
And being cool as fuck all the time. Martha Jones being like,
but what if
he becomes 26? Brilliant, mother. I love you, Martha Jones, forever.
Love you, Martha Jones. People talk shit about Martha Jones all the time because they're racist. I'm going to say this. She has one season and has some of the best episodes all of modern Who.
Oh my god!
And she has a crazy run of just
and when she comes back, her reprise, she's so cool. She's so cool in her
reprise.
Is that
when she gets together with Mickey though?
Her reprise when they bring all of Ten's companions back is when she says, but what if it becomes 26? And she threatens to blow up a planet. She threatens to blow up the whole Earth to ruin.
Wish there was a big Doctor Who choice game that we could play on this show.
Oh my
that
god,
be fun.
The Doctor Who choice game. We'll write it and then we'll do
it. I need a Dragon Age, but it's Doctor Who instead.
I feel like if
there should be two people in this world that should write it, it should be the pair of us.
It should be the pair of us.
I think we know enough about Doctor Who and also good enough writers to be actually make a fucking outstanding.
Oh, it would be so good. It would be so good.
I think it should be like, it should be like Inquisition, where the Doctor is like Alistair. Not Alistair. Alistair Cullen.
Solus?
No, the Doctor should just be like someone in the world who we don't see and then eventually turns up. Like, is like in it for like a bit start and then leaves and you're...
Right, like you're the Doctor's companions on Earth when the Doctor has left and alien shit is still happening all the time. Mm-hmm. But the Doctor's not around anymore because he's off, doing other things.
Doing something else. Or doing something like, it's more important, like it needs to be done over there. So you have to be going over in that place. Yeah. And then we can do our, it's set in London, but it's Kirkwall. It's shit.
It's
sucks.
Kirkwall. Yeah.
I just think that would be neat. Yeah.
I was gonna
You'd have several starting points. No, it's changed. It's not London anymore. You have three starting points. You'll start in London as just like a Rose Tyler. I'm thinking you start in Cardiff as a Torchwood, or you will be a, it's not SHIELD, it's called, what's the government agency? It's not SHIELD because that's Marvel. Isn't it SHIELD? Am I stupid? Doctor Who.
It's not.
Government agency.
Oh, it's going to make you
so
upset.
It's UNIT. UNIT! It's UNIT.
Oh, God, I knew I was going to be so pissed off as soon as he said it. I was bracing myself and it still pissed me off. UNIT. Of course.
Yeah. Anyway, we can make that another day. That'll be a Patreon exclusive as us making a perfect Doctor Who video game.
But my name is Dylan. I have played 3 Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I have played 3 Mass Effect games.
Oh, my God. And now we're back, baby.
We're fucking back, baby.
In a sick return to format. Dorkspawn is back playing Mass Effect, but we are doing Andromeda,
yeah,
which is controversial, and neither of us have played.
No. We have done... So we elected to do both the prologue and also Habitat 7.
Yeah, the prologue is like, is
it's like
20 the, minutes, not even.
20 minutes, 30.
Yeah.
No, it's why we left it open to be like, oh yeah, we can kind of do both. Okay.
Okay.
This is pre-game, the game. As I was beginning to make my character, I realized, oh, there's no good hairstyles in this. This is going to stress me out. So I then proceeded to download 200 mods
to
this
game.
Oh,
I love that. I might do that. Yeah.
You need a third-party mod thing. I'll give you my password. I have a subscription to Vortex, which is the...
I do too.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, we should share passwords more. We don't need to
be spending
money on that. But you need a third-party thing, and I downloaded a giant mod pack, which took longer to download than it did to download the actual game, Mass Effect Andromeda. and my character looks fine, but I do like him. We don't know a lot. I said him, so spoilers. I picked a boy because I text you, Dylan, halfway through the week, and I was like, hey, should you pick boy or girl? Because I wanted to go the opposite.
And the gender binary is alive and well at Dorkspawn.
There are two genders.
Genders.
Exactly. and how much in the prologue do we wanna be talking about? I mean,
what do you mean?
It starts. We are on a ship called Hyperion. First things first. I love a ship called Hyperion. Borderlands has it. I love a ship called Hyperion.
Yeah.
Interestingly, when you start creating a character, you must have felt this because you played through it.
Default. So let me, So I misunderstood the title screen. Very common Dylan occurrence.
This title screen is interesting. It's a weird one.
Yeah. I saw the two choices, which were like default Sarah Ryder and default Alec Ryder. Are those the two?
No, Alec is the father.
Alec the father. Scott Ryder?
Maybe.
Whatever. Two names, a girl name and a boy name. And I didn't see that underneath it says custom character or something like that.
Scott.
So anyway, what?
Scott. Scott Ryder.
Okay. So I picked Sarah Ryder, which I did go back, but I think I'm happy with her. I think I like her. I think she's fine. And I've already made, I feel like I've made a lot of personality choices. I've leveled her up in a way that I think is good. So I feel comfortable with her. I clicked Sarah Ryder. And then to my surprise, the game just started. Like, I just woke up in a cryo chamber and people were like, hey, Sarah, how you doing? And I was like, oh, okay. offered me coffee straight out of cryo, which I think is questionable, but I would take it for sure.
I don't think you're allowed that. I feel like your body has... You should have water first, I think.
Some water, maybe, after cryo. But it's fun. You talk about your character creation, because I skipped all that.
Well, before we talk about character creation, the ship, Hyperion, leaves in 2185, which is post Mass Effect 2 and pre Mass Effect 3. Mm-hmm. So not everything has gone to absolute hell yet. You do, on the custom, you pick what you look like, what your sister, your twin looks like, right, and then whatever your father looks like. And I don't know how relevant this is, but if there was a male or female shepherd in the events of Mass Effect. Yeah. And I'm not sure why. I'm sure they just reference it. Because this is very, very, very far away. 20,000 people are on the Hyperion. But it's 20,000 people of each species. So there's 20,000 humans on a human ship. There's 20,000 Asari on a Asari ship. 20,000 Turians on a Turian ship. Solarians, Krogan.
On different ships.
Different ships. All, they have found in the Andromeda galaxy, a bunch of habitable planets. So they using a Mass Effect relays, kind of, I think, or some type of relay to hyper warp speed in a 600-year journey to get to the other place. So even though it starts at the end of Mass Effect 2, when the game starts, like post.
Yes.
The opening
crawl.
It's far
and away past three.
It's literally 600 years past the events of Mass Effect. You will wake up from this stasis and you're so far away. And I'm going to say this. I like it. I like it as keeping it in universe and also having it so vastly separate that it's like nothing is going to matter. Like, none of your choices will matter. This is so far away from everything
else. I think that that is a thing I don't know how I feel about yet, because I am like, you know what's happening is that this game feels familiar to me, but I have the awareness that nothing, like, is, you know, nothing familiar is going to happen.
Because there's an interesting thing of, like,
yeah,
the Andromeda Initiative started by, it's not Dr. Carlyle, Jean Garson, who made this initiative to go to other universes.
By the way, the goal is to find new places to live. This is
To colonize other planets and stuff like that. Yeah. So they found these quote-unquote golden planets, which are planets perfect for the people that need to live there, and then they're firing off over there. I think it's very interesting that they've decided to leave the... it's not the Quinari, because that's Dragon Age. It's the Tali's race. Oh my god, wow, it's been a minute, huh, since we've done this?
Yeah.
Tali's race are not part of the Pathfinder mission. Presumably because there's not enough of them, and also the golden planets.
Because they live on flotillas.
Quarians.
Because they live on flotillas, not, like, they don't...
They're not on a planet, so they wouldn't be able to participate.
And maybe also their home planet is destroyed.
Their whole planet will always be destroyed, but I just guess there's not enough people to build a ship. And then also they're not going to find a golden planet because they can't live on any planet that isn't their home planet.
Yeah.
So they won't find it there. And then also, if they did find it, why would not every single Quarian just be like, well, let's just go there then. What are we talking? Well, I mean, they wouldn't because it's their home planet. And why would they leave their home planet? And we know this. Interesting that the Krogan are going. I think that's fun because there's still things about the Genophage going on at this time. I'm hoping they talk about that later.
Right, when the ship leaves, the genophage is still
going on
in effect.
And then Krogans that are there, if the genophage is cured, are 600 years away from the cure.
From the cure.
They will never get cured. They're just a quadrillion years away. How would they feel about that? Like, doesn't that feels... If I left to try to find, like, a new hope, Star Wars theme starts, and then woke up from cryosleep and then found out they found it a year after I left.
Yeah, and it's back like, another 600
so
years
we're,
away.
We're turning this ship around? Is that what we're doing?
Put me we're back
gonna,
in fucking cryo.
We're going to be 1,200 years late to this damn party. Anyway, you sloop in. Your father is the head pathfinder. Pathfinders are
yes,
essentially like big, very powerful soldiers who are there
high-ranking military
who are there to like look and fight and like essentially scout out these habitable worlds.
Right. These hypothetically habitable worlds.
Hypothetically habitable worlds.
Because.
As they look at the from 600 years, how they look that far away. Which is another thing which I do think is interesting. Because it's brought up later. Anyway, we arrive. Our twins pod won't open. It's very closed and refuses to open. As do some of the other pods also. But no one is making a big deal out of it. They're like, yeah, it's fine. It's like that just this just happens sometimes. Like it's literally fine. Everyone is very safe. And then all of a sudden, boom, bam, bing, the ship hits something. And then you're all into action mode. I've named my rider Billy Ryder.
Nice.
Because I thought it would be cool, and I like him a lot. I've decided to go against type and make a Joker. A Joker happy-go-lucky.
Happy-go-lucky.
And also a Joker as in the character Joker from Mass Effect, where he's a sniper.
That's
primarily.
What I thought you meant, yeah.
Yeah. He's a Joker. He's a funny guy. He's a funny guy. He doesn't really take a lot seriously, but he has a big heart. He's very soft and loves people very much. He's very emotional. I later added that the dad, being very military, was very not nice and pretty abusive to Billy. He's a military guy. They just kind of are that. And I think Billy, I play Billy very stern and not liking a lot of his dad's ideas. And also he's jokey with everyone except for his father, where he's very like, yes,
like
sir.
That.
Of course, sir.
This is very fun. This is very fun.
Yeah. I like
yeah.
it. Like
because
character.
I'm playing my writer also a little bit different than I normally play my characters. And I am playing a very like kind of like all about the job kind of character.
oh, my God.
That is just like
we're playing Dragon Age 2, but we're playing each other's characters.
We're playing each other's characters.
I think that's hot.
Which this game gives me a little bit of a Dragon Age 2 kind of vibe. I don't know. Like, obviously, it was very early. Mm-hmm. And it might be like because I am playing the default character that I'm feeling that way, but I'm getting something about it is giving me that vibe. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, playing my writer as like very much taking the like I'm a soldier kind of responses, like logical,
cool. I like
on
it.
The job, and with her father. Taking the is the only time she is taking the emotional choice answers.
Whoa. Fun.
Like, yeah. Even when, so you wake up in cryo. you're kind of told to like get your bearings and then meet, you know, go over and check your twin. In my case, brother is still in cryo, hasn't been woken up yet. So you're like getting your bearings. You can go and listen to the like video message from the, you know, the Andromeda project.
Yeah.
At large, you can hear about that. You can go see some of the other people that have been woken up.
Spoken by Sam, mm-hmm. who is the Sam. Online AI. It's our Oh my God, Eve, Evie, who?
Edie is in Fallout New Vegas, and is it?
Yeah, it is.
It's it is, and it is it also Edie in Mass Effect? Where are we?
Where are we? We've been out for so long.
We've been in cryo for 600 years.
We've been in cryo for 600 years. Anyway, sorry. You keep chatting.
So we listen to the cutscene. We meet Cora, who like kind of is giving us the opportunity to get our bearings. I can't wait to find out that that is a straight woman. I'm just awaiting for them to tell me that Cora is a straight woman. We have the opportunity to listen to listen to this kind of like intro to the ship that we're on and to the Andromeda program in general and like what it's meant to do and how long we've been out here. You get like kind of the history and stuff. And then when you go over to check on your brother, or when you go back to check in with Cora after checking on your brother, whatever it is, the ship sort of like jolts and the grav goes off in the ship and your brother's cryo chamber goes flying. And
that's what breaks it. Yeah.
Yeah. And hits like the wall above you. And then like some people are shouting, whatever. It gets fixed. Grav turns back on. And then everyone rushes to go check on your brother, and your brother is alive, allegedly fine. Sam, the computer system that Robin mentioned already, lost the ability to like connect directly with him, but can still track his vitals, and is like his brain activity is good. He's alive. He's fine.
Yeah, ED. By the way, it's ED.
It is ED. That okay.
It is ED.
So Sam is like, he needs to rest, for a little while longer. And then Cora tells us that what we're going to do is leave him in a coma and let him regain consciousness.
But they're very
naturally.
Much like, they're fine. They're
yeah,
like,
they're like,
it's
they're fine.
It's genuinely nothing to worry about.
I love the logic of, someone healing naturally from a coma. and I love that very much. I think it's very cute and niche.
There's a weird thing in this which they do. It's just like a choice dialogue, a video game thing, where I picked the emotional option. I can't lose her, and then Billy Ryder said, "I don't like the sound of that," and it's like that's not even remotely what I said. I picked an emotional, like I can't lose her, like I can't lose my sister,
yeah.
And he said, "Well, I don't like the fucking sound of that."
That's so funny. That's very. That's stupid. Very BioWare. We love it.
It's stupid.
So then you go, and I believe the next thing that you do after this is that you go and talk to your dad, who is essentially your boss. And your dad is basically like, well, after that, there's a whole thing that happens after that. After that, Cora takes you to go investigate the problem that caused the ship to malfunction in the first place, and you go out into like the main part of the ship, and the ship is like on fire in different places, like shit's sparking and blowing up.
Yeah.
And that's where we learn that Ryder has a fun little scanner that apparently no one else has, and it's cool
because you're one of the Pathfinder units, and I think the Pathfinder team they all have one of these. You're the only Pathfinder who's up at the minute. Kay, can you check out these things?
And so this is cool. I'm liking this, by the way, like just in general throughout the play of the prologue. I've really enjoyed the scanner elements of this game in general. So you go up to things that are malfunctioning, you scan them, you figure out what's wrong, and then you're able to help fix it, identify the source of the problem, etc. You get the thing fixed, stabilized, whatever, and then you go to go talk to your dad, who is like, okay, well, you know, we see this, like, that the ship is stuck. We have, like, kind of flown into, like, this, I don't know. I'm sure that they did say something more technical, but it looks like stringy goop.
It does look like goop.
In space.
Yeah.
And it has grabbed onto all the ships and is, like, not allowing.
Or it's just, like, it's not necessarily grabbed, but our ships have run into it.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it looks like stardust, but it is a physical thing, like a full wall that is stopping us moving past it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we are stuck there. So he's, like, well, I need some of you to go on, like, a forward scout to the planet to figure out what's going on. And someone, I want to say it's Cora, that, like, kind of lightly disagrees and, like, eggs you on to disagree with him or something like that. I think it is Cora.
Yeah, and just then, kind of getting a who is your character kind of.
Yeah, just vibe. Being like, I don't think we should do this or something like that. And you have the option to either, like, also kind of push back or be frustrated with the idea or to fall in line. And I, of course, was like, he's in charge. What are you talking about?
I pushed back against it because I was speaking to her. So I, like, quietly to her said, well, it's her ship. Like, I mean, she's in charge. And then Dad overheard and then was very angry with me.
Yeah. So it, fall in line is what my character is doing most of the time. So then we go on this little expedition. We go and land on this ship, where we go to try to land on this ship.
We see our golden world also, what we've been going this whole time. We're literally right in view of it. We have gotten there. Like, it's not like we
stopped
early. Like, we perfectly got there. It's just that the world is almost destroyed and completely uninhabitable.
Hey, you! You don't look familiar. First time in this part of the city? I see that sneer on your face. Better wipe it off before I do it for you. This is home. This is the best place you could ever want to be. Whether or not this is where you meant to end up, you found yourself on a rather fortuitous street. You see that corner building down there? 3 floors up. Lamplight Investigative Services. Friends of mine, you ask. Loaded words you're throwing around this evening. Good people is what they are, though. Not a single one of them will admit to being nice. Something about duty, yada yada. A bunch of BS, if I do say so myself. Who am I? No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm sure my name will come up in time. But go. See for yourself. 3 floors up. Gold-gilded sign. As for Mama, don't tell him I sent you. She'll know what to do.
All doors are just windows that we can't see through. You ever think about that?
We provide our patrons with anonymity.
Hello, this is Mama Amoretta speaking.
Lamplight Investigations, a Thirsty Sword Lesbian's noir mystery. Full season available now on QueerPG.
Yeah. There was a fun thing. I read a journal entry that was from Sam, the AI, saying that there was a sensor array fault in 2497 on the ship that stopped us being able to locate other things, and it just messed with our array. But it was like a minor thing that I was like, oh, I mean, that's such a specific date. And also a sensor array fault 200 years ago. I bet that's going to come up at some point.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, the golden planet is uninhabitable and is fucked. But we're going to go see. We're going to go check it out anyway, because it might just be a small part of it.
Yeah. Well, as we're flying down on our little shuttle, and we're flying down with a bunch of people, including Dad, and Cora and everybody. And we're flying and Liam, down.
Who's our first companion.
And very cute.
I like him.
Yeah. So we're flying down and it's all calm for a little bit. And then very suddenly the whole wall of your shuttle gets like ripped open.
Uh-huh.
And I believe it's Liam who gets sucked out first.
Yeah.
And then you try to help him and then you get sucked out and you are just free falling down to the earth, trying to like activate your suit to break your fall.
Uh-huh.
And it does at the last minute, but you do crack your mask and you cannot breathe on this planet.
Yes.
And so then you use your special little machine to heal your mask, which is great. Woo!
Yeah, it's cute.
And then you wake up. You're alone, not for very long before you find Liam again, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you two are kind of like stranded in the middle of nowhere on this planet. You have no idea what's out there. You have no idea if anybody else from the ship landed safely and made it alive. Uh-huh. And it is just sort of like explore this planet time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's like a whole. It's like a pseudo open world segment. There's a lot to do. You can go around and then find all the other ship people. You can investigate a bunch of alien ruins to try to find stuff out in.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, which is cool.
I wasn't sure if it was open world or not because I did like find a couple ruins where I was like, oh, this isn't like part of my main journey, but it seems like it should be. But
it seems important. But everything kept popping up with like, whenever you found something new, there'd be a new optional objective that you could go
which
find.
I do like. So it's not like if I walk past something, like it never, the game never tells me that something interesting is there,
which is cool.
I like so far. So that was cool.
If we had to move to mechanics really quick, I'm going to say this. Mass Effect is a shooter game. Unlike the other Mass Effects, this is a shooter game.
This is a shooting game.
You are like jetpack flying. You can hover in midair, do fucking trick shots on the guy. You like have to like,
oh yeah,
you have loadouts and all this stuff. Like this is a gun game. You are doing a lot of gunplay in this.
Yeah, gunplay. I've decided I'm gonna try to be good at it. At the shooting, I mean.
Yeah.
So I have put everything in my levels into like shooting advantages, making aim
cool.
more stable and stuff like that.
Sure.
So that I can have fun with it. Because I do really like the hover stuff. I like the hover stuff a lot. You can like do a little jump and you have like a little jetpack on.
Yeah, when you aim after your little jetpack jump, time doesn't slow, but you hover in midair and you're able to like have this crazy advantage. I've decided to be a sniper. That fucking owns for me.
Oh, that's cool.
It's sick as hell. Yeah, it's cool. I'm bad at sniping, but I was like, it's a single player game. I could be shit at this. It's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't really
matter.
It's
good. So you adventure around. You find... So first of all, planet is cool. We've got like some big sort of like glowy mushroomy stuff.
And there's
plants,
like a lot
ruins from the ship.
A huge amount of alien architecture, which... On a scan, this is why the scan's cool.
Prothean,
I scanned a giant. Is that true?
Yeah.
I didn't.
I found
that.
A big building that was like, this is Prothean.
That's crazy. Didn't clock that. I didn't find that. I found that all this stuff was built about 400 years ago, which is why it didn't appear on the original scans, but is here now because whilst we were traveling, this race moved in, which we still don't know, but I mean, Prothean would be crazy. I mean, they look very different to Jarvik, so I don't know how that would.
Oh yeah, but these guys are not for sure, but like, but
it's cool though.
Interesting. So yeah, you find some ruins. You go in, you find some stuff in there. You do find. I don't know if I got everybody, but I did find. I found Cora. Found my dad. Found the. I want to say the doctor or somebody else. I found a bunch of people.
Yeah. There's three people. Oh, so when you first, before you get into the open world, you're doing the tutorial thing. This, I thought, was really interesting. You come across these two aliens.
Oh, yes.
Investigating the ship. One of your people is there.
On the ground.
And you approach and you don't have weapons drawn. And your rider is like ambient dialoguing, trying to talk to them. And then the guy who's injured starts yelling at you. And then one of the aliens like starts beating the shit out of him with the butt of a rifle. And then I was like, okay, well now we're acting. And then I started shooting and
Yeah, that's fun story. I came at them with weapons drawn. I did not.
That's fun.
I did not talk.
That's really cool. There's actually
my man was on the ground screaming, "They're going to kill me!" I shot first.
Crazy. That's huge. It's really cool because there was a bit of. I'm wondering how they did this. Mentioning Dragon Age 2 is fun for me because a lot of my ambient dialogue was Ryder being sarcastic and smarmy and like kind but joking. And I'm like, is that the same for you? Or is that because I'm picking all of the smarmy options?
So far I am getting some snarky dialogue, but I'm not getting a lot of ambient dialogue. So.
Okay. Sure.
So, yeah.
Interesting. But there was some interest.
I'll see if I clock anything.
Yeah, keep an ear out for it.
Yeah.
There was a thing which I genuinely liked of Liam was like, "Oh, why are they so hostile?" And then my rider was like, "Well, we're on their planet armed to the teeth. We would do exactly the same thing."
I had an option to say that and I did not.
That was ambient for me. That wasn't an option. My guy just said it,
That was a dialogue choice for me. Was like,
that's really cool.
Yeah, where the aliens was the dialogue choice.
Oh, I had that. This is later down the road, I think. Okay. Which he ended up saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of things where it's like Liam is pissed that they're swinging at us, and there was a couple of moments like where Ryder kept being like, "Yeah, we are armed to the teeth and we have guns. Obviously, they're going to start shooting at us." And then it's like, if they landed on Earth, we would be doing exactly the same thing. We have done the same thing. And I'm like, this is fascinating. I like my rider a lot so far. I think Billy is a cool guy. There are two other optional people. But all three of these seemed like a chance to save, because this first guy started getting beaten and then I saved him. The second person I had to snipe
was also
one of the people before they shot him, and the third guy also had the same thing happen. I saved two of the three of them. I don't know if you can save all three of them.
I believe I did.
Good
I believe I did. Yeah,
that's cool. In that case, they talk a lot about how you got a bug in your room. I just saw you.
Did you see it fly by the screen?
I did. I saw a bug, and then I saw you recoil backwards. But there's a lot of cool things where it's like, Kirkland was the person who died. They bring that up a lot. In shooting aliens, they were like, that one was for Kirkland.
I definitely did save everybody, because that nothing has been said about
good
that guy.
Okay. Hey, listen, that's a good precedent that this game's setting. I think that's really cool. That's pretty good. There's another thing which I thought was really fun. So you find Cora, your dad, Dr. Carlisle. You then have a little standoff. You then all make a plan to go to their like main base.
Yes.
And see what's up. I had already gone to the main base whilst I was investigating. I was there, Liam kept being like, "This is too difficult for us. We won't be able to do this alone. We should be turning back." As I was investigating. And then eventually I was like, okay, fine. when you go back there, you talk about the fact that you've already been there and scouted it out. Cool.
Nice. That's
really
good.
Fun.
Love
We were going back and we were like, oh, we've already been here. Oh, yeah, we've scouted this area. I don't think there's anything that we should be worried about. There's a giant storm. Oh, by the way, this place is like floating mountains and giant lightning storm is going on at all times.
Yeah. And then there are like these spot storms that you have to simply run through because like there are just like little spots of electricity that will just like blow up little bits of the earth under your feet. Cool. Cool stuff.
It's cool.
Your dad sets like a rendezvous time, like you guys all match watches and like time your approach or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, then you run in and through, and then oh my god, and then I'm wondering if I'm missing something. When you,
what are you thinking of?
I'm just wondering if I'm skipping or if I'm skipping back again, because you don't go with your dad back into the ruin. No, that's something else. That's what I already did on my own. yeah. So, okay. So after you and dad and everybody, Liam, Cora, everybody makes a plan to like set your watches and go. And you're going to try to like one kind of like find your way to the rendezvous point and get off this planet. But one, I meant to mention this, felt very good the very first time I saw, because I think it's when you first find, like a survivor from the ship that like, because when you first meet the aliens on this earth, on this planet, you see the two that are beating up, a guy and you kill them or whatever. But the next time you encounter them, they bring reinforcements via a drop. And that is, I felt like that was the first time where I was like, this is Mass Effect. We got enemies slowly dropping out of planes. So easy for me to hit them. I love when my enemies slowly descend to the earth helplessly. It's my favorite. I love it so much. Brilliant. I'm glad they kept that. Yeah. So, yeah.
we do a little, like, hold off. We're trying to get into this tower's, like, main...
Oh, yeah.
...room. I guess, so we can...
Oh, yeah, into the tower. That's what I was thinking of. The tower, not... Yeah.
Then when we get... then when we get in, our dad is like, hey, I need help opening this door. We help him. And then... Oh, God. We are... Let me genuinely Google this just to make sure that, because we are, so we find a thing, like an artifact.
Yes.
This alien artifact.
And it looks like a door. It looks like a big, like, giant door with, like, but there's, like, it's a triangle. It's a big, like, triangle
in the
sky.
Yeah, it's a big triangle, yeah.
Yeah.
And we, I think we're confused as to why we're here. Like,
yes, but Dad seems to know.
Like,
and
oh,
Dad,
I know what this, yeah,
like puts a hand up to the triangle, and clearly something happens.
Yeah,
something one might say magical happens. but who knows?
Then a giant like cloud storm overtakes you. You're both pushed off of this, like, the platform where all this building is. Your helmet snaps and breaks. Your dad's is fine. He then takes off your helmet, takes off his helmet, and then puts it on you so you can breathe, and then he dies in it. But not before you have a heart attack and pass out.
Yes, but he doesn't just give you his helmet. He starts to do a transfer.
As
he puts the helmet on you. And I was like, are you giving me your fucking memories or something like that? Because didn't that happen in Mass Effect 1 where like you had to track down your dad's memories or something like
Mass
that?
Mass Effect 1 is you get the Prothean beacon kind of takes you over and you get the vision.
The vision.
From the future, and you're like kind of hopping from planet to planet, slowly piecing together that.
What game am I fucking thinking of?
Where someone gives you their memories.
Where they don't give you their memories, but your memories are like, it's a science fiction game, and uh-huh. I know I played it, and I cannot for the life of me remember what it was. And it is like, your dad's memories are like scattered around, and you unlock them or like get them back or something like that. Somebody help me for the love of God. This is real.
I actually don't know what game you're talking about.
And I was
feel like that's bad of me.
And I was like, for sure that this is something that has happened before. But then I was very relieved that it wasn't his memories. When you wake up afterwards, it is actually Sam. He has transferred Sam to you. And so now you have Sam, the AI, directly in your head.
Yeah. Oh, you do have a fucking, like a Neuralink in your head. You have a thing because they talk about that when you first wake up, that your fucking brain chip is fine. It's fine and it's functioning, but it might be a little low anyway. And then your dad fucking transfers stuff to you. I feel like it's important because they mention it several times. But yeah, and then he transfers Sam to you, and then you are named the new Pathfinder because you have Sam.
Because you have
brain.
Sam. Yeah. And then we get a sick ass cutscene with 0% dialogue of these aliens back at the triangle site.
Yeah.
And they are looking at a astral projection of your father operating the triangle, and they're studying it.
And they're copying his movements.
Yeah. They're trying to learn how he's doing it, but they can't.
Yeah.
And so they get frustrated and they huff and puff and they walk away from the astral projection.
Which I really like.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah. I like this idea of it being a galactic treasure hunt, but neither side really knows what it leads to or really knows how to make it work. Like,
right. My dad knew what it was, I guess. Maybe. I don't even know.
Which is cool because then that's like, he had a separate purpose. Yes. So at this point, actually kind of in the mission, I was very like prim and proper to him. And then when he died, I was like, I want him to, I was kind of having thoughts about him because I was like, he's a military dad. He's probably abusive and that could be interesting. And then he died and I was like, this is fantastic. I'm going to take this. I'm going to expand it and then roll with it because I like the fact my guy is like, yeah, I hate my dad. He's actually like abusive and evil. And then his dad died giving him like everything. And the kind of weird survivor's guilt feelings that come with that of like, yeah, he was evil, but he did die to save me. Yeah. I don't know how to process who he actually was. And now who people are going to be like, everyone's first reaction is like, oh, what a brave man. He sacrificed himself to save you. And it's like, huh? Well, I don't. Well, yeah, but he wasn't nice. And that comes up in dialogue because I got to say, because they were like, oh, well, you know, your dad saved you. I'm so sorry for all your loss. And then I had the choice, which I did say, which is like, I didn't really know him, so I don't know why he did that, which I thought was an interesting choice.
Wow.
And I have kind of this idea in my mind that Sarah, who's my twin sister, was supposed to be the person who, like, you know, pick up everything. But then she will just so happens to not be there. He also didn't want to give it to me. He just was like, well, you know, I can't have my son die.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah,
so there's
a
lot
like
of like
narrative. Yeah.
A lot of weird mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see his dad as a good guy. But then it's like, I mean, you're not good as a whole. nor were you good to me, but your very last act was extremely good to me, and I don't know how to process that or, like, feel about it. I don't really want to respect you, but then there's... I can never, like, tell you that you're horrific or really move past this. This is just kind of a thing you've thrown upon me now. Anyway, yeah. That's kind of how I'm going with this storyline.
I'm playing Sarah. I like that a lot, and I'm playing Sarah kind of, like, intentionally... All right. I don't know if there is a word that better describes what I'm going for, but I'm kind of trying to describe like a kind of neutral piece of shit. Like someone, I'm imagining Sarah as someone who grew up in a military family, like joined the military, and by that nature is kind of a shitty person, but also like just doesn't know anything else yet at this point, or like hasn't had a like... Sure. And, like, hasn't, like, made the conscious choice about who she is yet. And so I'm going to be, like, she right now, she was raised to be a military brat. She was raised to be a soldier. And that's kind of the piece of shit that she is right now. And I'm just sort of curious. I'm not, like, intending to drive her one way or the other. I want to see, like, if this game gives her enough reason to, like... be better. Like, and I kind of want to see what like that would look like. And right now I think her dad dying to put this weight on her shoulder has honestly been a neutral option. It's just sort of like, well, now I have responsibilities to get to. You know, there's like, you know, it's no time to grieve dad, time to do what I have to do. And so I'm very curious to see. I'm really excited to, like, see what this game is. I am so excited to finally see an alien that isn't shooting at me. I cannot wait. So excited for that. I am trying to decide if I want to look up who the romance options are.
I'm going
to
say this. I just did on this call.
You did on this call?
On this very call.
All right. I think I'm going to, because I kind of want to... I think I would like an idea in my head.
There is, let's say this, some pretty good options. I'm pretty stoked about it.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that.
There is a Turian. You'll be glad.
I am very glad. However, come on.
Outstandingly hot Turian. As well as, and a minor spoiler... Slightly minor spoiler. An alien race that we've not seen before.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
And hello.
Yeah.
And I dare say hi.
Oh, we got a little tasting platter here. Very nice.
I'll be honest with you. Okay, I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm very happy to see Liam on the list here, because I did get a sense that he was flirty with you, like, kind of right off the bat, and I'm happy.
I'm a little bummed that it's not a both option, but it's
fine. I see that.
But
I do see that Cora is fucking straight. BioWare, are you out of your mind?
Oh, she's straight. Listen, she's straight. Yes, she's fucking straight. Look at her. She's got the Karen hair.
That is undercut, not a Karen haircut.
It's a Karen haircut with a military chic to it.
Oh my goodness.
This woman is in every single Walmart across the country.
tough what you're saying. Okay. Very good. I'm excited to find out. Dr. Suvi Anwar is also, I mean, it's kind of against my religion to date a human in these games, but like, okay.
How are you doing that when Jarl and Vetra are right below them?
I know.
I mean, come on now. That's fucking crazy.
Oh, no. I think Jarl is...
And you know what? I'm going to say this. I was like, man, Jarl's really hot. I definitely hope that I can get there before Dylan does.
It's, look, we'll see.
Maybe their personality sucks.
And the thing is, we have no idea. Yeah, we don't know the personality and we don't know when these people show up. That is another factor for me. A romance in a BioWare game where it's like a person who's in like the back 25% of the game only is worthless to me.
It's dog shit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So who knows?
Which, this being a one-off, I don't think that's the case. I don't think so. I think the reason why Mass Effect 1, 2, 3 has this problem is because it's like, it's a trilogy. We can just kind of have them
going.
We can keep the story going. But in this, it's like, no, you have to fucking know your team. Like, this is a one and done.
Do you know what, Robin?
What's up, darling?
Do we know any quotes to do a sign-off?
Oh, my God. Oh, I got one.
You do?
I just clicked on, Pathfinder, like Mass Effect, Andromeda, and the spoilers for Mass Effect Andromeda on the wiki has, make no mistake, this is a one-way trip.
Oh, and that's so good.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's so good.
And that's fucking sick. So.
Oh, that's fucking ill. Perfect, gang. Oh, my God. And I do feel like if I'm reading the room wrong, I feel like our audience is a piece of shit again. I feel like we're mad at them again.
Oh, I'm pissed at them. I think they're fucking disgusting. Yeah.
You fucking slime. Wait, whoa. Quote. Aggressive quote. And it's every time the quote is aggressive, we get aggressive.
We have to get aggressive. So next week.
Yes.
We are still doing a little feel out for length at the minute. So there is, I have up the like walkthrough guide, and I would like for us to do three missions in this.
Okay, great.
The end of the prologue, I didn't see this beforehand, and this saddens me a little bit, but the end of the prologue counts as the end of Nexus Reunion, which is the Hyperion docks at the Nexus, which is support hub, which is just like the hub, which is good.
Okay.
We do that.
Okay.
And then the two missions, First Strike and A Better Beginning, which is... it's seemingly we're just doing the next planet, it seems like. So I like that. I like us doing two additional planets. One additional planet, which is Eos.
Eos.
Okay. So if whilst doing that, we're like, actually, First Strike is a pretty big mission.
We'll text each other and we'll update.
And it's like, I did First Strike in like an hour, it's pretty short, let's just do,
we'll do
A Better Beginning and we'll do Eos after, because
Perfect.
There is a lot of missions in this game, therefore I feel like all the missions are fairly short if there's a lot of them, and we can do maybe like three per episode.
Cool.
There's also like The mission name, which is Meet the Resistance, is like five missions into the main plot, and I feel like that's the main game.
Yeah,
feels like the main game. Anyway, so
perfect.
Next week we'll be doing the Nexus Reunion, First Strike, and A Better Beginning.
Great.
Finishing up Eos, but listen up, dorks.
All right, fucking
you nerds. Fucking.
You nothings. You,
nothings.
You
think you know
slime.
You
the gum
think
on the
you
bottom
know
of my
so
shoe.
Much. You think you know so much, and you're so
you
fucking
know
dumb.
Nothing at all, because
make no mistake, this is a one.
This is
trip.
A one way trip.
It's good. I like it. It's